water off the coast of Sicily. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Are you filled with anxious thoughts? Do you have these nagging worries and maybe even crippling fears? Well, if you do, this particular broadcast is for you today, because we're going to talk about specifically to women today, but I think it's good, the counsel that we'll be giving as we're talking through this issue will be good for men and women alike. But the actual title of the book that we're going to be talking about today is called What Women Should Know About Facing Fear. Now, that particular subject, especially when we think about anxieties and worries being associated with that fear, is something that may be of particular interest to certain regions of the country, and maybe even to the people right here in Greenville, South Carolina, a little bit more so, because just recently there was a news item that came out. This one I have pulled up on my computer here, was put out by WYFF 4, Channel 4 here in Greenville, South Carolina. And the title of it says this: Greenville County's Most Stressed City, or Greenville, I'm sorry, Greenville is the country's most stressed city. And it talks about the fact that Greenville has been the most listed as the most stressed city in America. It says this. This was put out, I should give you the date, it was a couple weeks old. I think, it shows here as being September 20th is when it was released. But it says this: some residents of Greenville are feeling a little stressed out about a report that named Greenville as the most stressed city in the country. The irritation may be understandable, since several other sources, including Sperling's Best Places and Forbes magazine, don't even put Greenville on their list. So one list has Greenville at the very top of it, and then a couple of other lists that measure this same thing don't have Greenville on the list at all. But according to one called ShareCare, that is the one that lists Greenville on the top of the list. The article goes on to say this: on Wednesday, ShareCare released a report that named Greenville the most stressed city in America. ShareCare is an online health and wellness community founded by Jeff Arnold, and also by Dr. Oz. And so Dr. Oz is coming out against us here. He says the group said their surveys resulted from their survey results were based upon a sampling of 250,000 respondents. And according to ShareCare's Real Age survey, it says this, quote, "The seventh oldest city in the U.S., Greenville, South Carolina." I didn't know that it was the seventh oldest city, but the seventh oldest city, Greenville, South Carolina, has one important thing going for its well-being of its residents, and that is strong emotional connections. Its natives are, I'm actually being part of a reading program today at a Christian school right after this, and yet I can't even read this article correctly. Boy, are they going to be surprised. I'm going to actually be a mystery reader today right after the program. And boy, is it going to be a mystery to them as to what I'm reading. I should have had an extra cup of coffee. But the article goes on to say, it says, we have one good thing going for us, for the well-being of the residents: strong emotional connections. Its natives are third in the country for happy marriages and fifth for robust social networks. both of which have been linked to stronger immune systems and better overall health. And so that's one thing we got going for us. It talks about some other things that we don't have going for us. You can check out the article for yourself and maybe read it better for yourself out there at WYFF4. That article, though, plays into what we're talking about today, and specifically talking about facing fears. A lot of times, these fears that we face are tied to anxiety and these overwhelming thoughts of nagging thoughts about worry, and that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. The webpage for the book that we're talking about says this, says you don't have to be held captive by your fears. Imagine what your life could be without those anxious thoughts or nagging worries or crippling fears. What if you could finally become a woman who you were created to be? Author Kristen Ditchfield knows what it's like to be bound by fear and to be set free, sharing from her own personal experience and life-changing truths of Scripture. She's going to help you in this book to be able to recognize the stranglehold that fear can be and break free from its destructive power. She's going to help you to identify your own unhealthy responses to fear and discover more effective strategies for facing it. She's going to help you to find courage to face your fears head on and to conquer them, and also to experience for yourself the perfect love. That perfect love casts out fear, and to know true peace. That's a pretty daunting list there. It's a pretty important list, but something that some of the things that we'll go over in our discussion today can help you with. My guest on the program today is Kristen Ditchfield. She's an accomplished educator, author, conference speaker, and the host of a syndicated radio program called Take It to Heart. If you were listening just before the program went on the air today, you actually heard the latest installment of Take It to Heart, because we air that here on Christian Talk 660. And it's heard not only here, but it's heard daily on hundreds of stations across the United States and indeed around the world as well. With that, Kristen, come on into the program and bail me out from doing any more reading here on the program today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to be with you. Yeah, you get a little tongue-tied sometimes. I know I do.
Yeah, you know, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And that's all we do is talk, you know, as radio hosts, right? And doing these things as well as being a pastor. I talk for a living, and you would think I'd be better at it, or better at the reading part of it anyways. But it,
well, you know, interestingly enough, public speaking, you know, speaking to an audience, you know, consistently ranks number one out of all the things that people are afraid of, out of all the fears that we have. More people are afraid of speaking to an audience than are afraid of dying.
Wow. Wow.
Sometimes we get a little nervous or we get a little distracted, and we get, you know, it's a challenge for all of us.
You know, I've heard that, and I've never heard the idea that even above dying, but I've heard it. Maybe it's because when you do public speaking, especially when it goes bad, and it goes bad a lot of times because I'll give a couple reasons why I think how we could do it better is if you actually know what you're talking about is a big help. But if you just get started, too, a lot of times if you get started, you know, it becomes easier as you go along. But I think that it might be bigger than dying because you go through 1,000 deaths while you're there speaking. It isn't just dying once, but it happens repeatedly over and over again. So I think that could be the reason why.
You know, it's true that a lot of us do. And, you know, one of the reasons, too, I think, for that fear, the reason we are dying 1,000 deaths is fear of being judged and being criticized and not being understood or appreciated. And so, you know, there are so many different things. You talked about that. You've mentioned that already. But there are so many different ways and different areas in which we battle fear today.
Mm-hmm. It really is something that can be paralyzing. It can be debilitating. There's no doubt about it. You know, I think why women are really going to resonate, not only because you're talking about this issue in your book, but you talk about it from your own experiences. This isn't saying from somebody who doesn't struggle with these issues, that person then saying, hey, let me tell you about fear. But you actually very candidly in your book expose the fact that you have struggled with these things yourself. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's taken different forms and different shapes in my life. You know, when I was a child, I was tormented by fear. I was a very fearful child, afraid of bugs and spiders and frogs and dogs and things that go bump in the night, to a point where it was debilitating for me. And my parents really wrestled with how to encourage me, how to pray for me, how to help me, because I was so tormented by fear as a small child. And then as I grew older, you know, as a preteen and as a teen, I wasn't as much afraid of frogs and bugs and spiders in the dark, but that fear turned inward, and I became horrifically shy, and I was terrified of speaking to store clerks, to librarians, to people I didn't know. I mean, my parents, one time, we were going to a new church, and they wanted me to visit the youth group, and they were insistent, and I would not go. I refused until finally they drove up to the building and dropped me off at the door and drove away, and I stood there sobbing, tears streaming down my face, because I was so terrified of walking into a room full of people I didn't know and having to speak with them. You know, and God took me from that. He used that experience. He delivered me from my fear. He set me free. And that's a story that I love to share. But I have to add that although I no longer live in fear in that kind of torment that I experienced, as a grown-up woman, I have to deal with worry and stress and fear every day, financial fear, health fear, worries for my friends. I don't know about you, but my news feed on Facebook is full of urgent prayer requests and people in terrible situations, friends and family that I love. And I've got my own stuff going on. And so I for me, I think it's a lifelong battle. And I've certainly learned a lot. And God has set me free from living in fear, from being tormented by fear. But I still have to battle it. And I think most of us do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly seems to be something that is universal with people. I had a fear that I had to face not that many years ago. My fear was I had a fear of heights. I had, you know, high anxiety, and I didn't appreciate heights at all. And I was invited by Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham's ministry, and the Master's Seminary, John MacArthur's ministry out there in California, to go on what they call a Christian leadership tour to the Grand Canyon. And so I'm thinking to myself, I am absolutely the last person in the world who belongs in the Grand Canyon. So although they were very gracious and the funding had been provided for a lot of the trip to be able to spend, you know, I think about 10 days in the Grand Canyon, 200 miles of the Colorado River on a raft. We had geologists and different Old Testament scholars and so forth on the rafts as well, that we would pull over and then do geological studies and classes on the sides of the Colorado River. But I had actually turned it down twice, said, you know, I'm just not going to be able to do it. We were talking about being flown out on a helicopter at the end of the trip and so forth. And I was just like, I cannot see myself doing this at all. And finally, I just said, you know what? This is a chance of a lifetime to go to something like this. And I'm going to sign up and do it. And so I just did it. You know, I just signed up and said, I am just going to have to face this, and God is bigger than this fear, and we're just going to have to do this. So I went, and I had a wonderful time. And although it's not completely alleviated, and I believe that some instances of going up on heights is actually tempting God, and I don't try to put myself in that position, but nevertheless, it has gone a long way to alleviating that fear. I just now think, well, this isn't as high as I was when I was standing a mile up looking down in the Grand Canyon, so this isn't that bad. So I think it's universal, and when we look in the Word of God, we find, somebody once said that 365 times it says in the Scripture, fear not. I've never actually counted it for myself. I just know it's a lot, that a lot of times the Bible is telling us, God, through His inspired Word, is saying to His people not to fear. So it is a universal thing, right? And it's something that God addresses repeatedly in His Word.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and there are all different kinds of fears, as you mentioned, and one of the things that I think you pointed out there is so great is there are a lot of things we can be afraid of that don't really impact our lives until they do.
That's right.
And then they keep us from experiencing the life that God's called us to, being able to stand in faith and be a part of His work, His kingdom here on earth. We get limited. We are hold back because of those fears, and that's why God does assure us. And yet, like you, I haven't counted all of them, but I've looked through a lot of them, and I know there's at least 400 different variations of be bold, have courage, stand firm, do not fear. And I think God tells us that many times because it is an issue for all of us, and we continue to have opportunities. Even when we've beaten it in one area, I compare it to whack-a-mole. You know that carnival game? You beat it down in one area, and it pops up in another. So we've got to stay vigilant and learn how to face our fears, how to battle our fears so that they don't take control of us and keep us from being the people God created us to be.
Again, speaking about the universal nature of it, throughout your book, you actually weave through the different chapters of the book a number of quotes from well-known individuals. I think the first one there is by Eleanor Roosevelt that you quote from. And immediately I came to my mind that I think that it was her husband who actually said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself," right?
That's right.
And so these folks, even though famous, well-known, prominent people in our society and throughout our history, nevertheless, again, each of them talking about various aspects of fear or facing certain anxieties in their life. Let's start with your book then, and give us a little bit of an overall summary of what you write about then in your book.
Well, you know, I think it's really important for us to look at the different kinds of things that we fear and where that fear is coming from. You know, are we afraid of losing someone? Are we afraid of not being enough, of not being good enough or perfect enough, of being not being loved and appreciated? Are we afraid of this or that or the other? Are they concrete fears like fears of fear of heights or fear of spiders or whatever those things are? To look at those fears and then look at some of the strategies we use that are not so effective. You know, hiding, pretending we're not afraid, living in denial about the things that worry us, being passive, kind of retreating from life. Perfectionism is a way that we try to deal with fear. We think if we can be perfect, then no one will ever criticize us or judge us. We don't have to be afraid of failing. If we could just get everything right all the time. Being manipulative and controlling is actually one of the ways that we try to cope with fear, because if we can control everything, then we don't have to be afraid that something will go wrong. So we need to recognize some of those strategies that we use that are not working for us and look at what God's Word says. Look at the counsel that He gives us. Remember what He says to us and the strategies that do work, you know, with the keeping our hearts and minds guarded, protected with the truth of God's Word, affirming His truth in our lives and building up our emotional and spiritual and physical health. You know, physical issues affect our emotions too. Sometimes we're shaking with what we think is fear, and it's really hypoglycemia. So, we got to look at all of these different aspects and ask God to be with us and guide us through this life, through this journey, and learn how to face our fear so that we can be set free. And that's what I hope to share. That's what that's what I put into this, and I'm praying that God will use it to speak to many women today.
Well, I think this subject is one that certainly needs to be addressed, especially maybe I could say in our day and age. You know, there are so many fears on the horizon that we're facing. You know, we're doing this broadcast at a time where the country is going through a tremendous amount of upheaval, where there's not a whole lot of confidence in the leadership of the country right now, and people are generally tempted to be very fearful. And as you talked about, there are no shortage of solutions offered to us as to what we should do about fear. I was reading one of these articles about Greenville, and in one of the articles that I read, they went to one of the hospitals here locally, and they asked, you know, a so-called expert there in the hospital, you know, what do they think about all of this anxiety and stress that was being talked about among the inhabitants of Greenville. And the solution was, well, I think that people need to learn breathing techniques. And so I'm just thinking, you know, this is the world's answer. Yeah, breathing techniques. This is what we need. And so after I caught my breath, no pun intended, I went ahead and thought, you know, your book, though, is not going to just offer, you know, those types of silly platitudes to people. Real concrete solutions that are gleaned from the study of God's Word. And that's what I love about the books that you write. We'll talk more about those. I'll mention a couple more of those when we come back from the break. But let me get you to talk about the opening couple of chapters. We addressed a little bit about your own personal fears, but your first chapter is entitled Much Afraid of Me. And then the second one talks about the two faces of fear. So if we've already addressed, if in the first chapter it's what we've already talked about, we can gloss over that and talk about the two faces of fear, or you can give us a little bit more information about that first chapter if you'd like.
Well, sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about fear, faces of fear. You know, fear can be unhealthy and it can be healthy. And that's something that we sometimes don't realize, is that healthy fear is good fear, healthy fear that alerts us to danger, that helps us know something's wrong. I have a healthy fear of putting my hand on a hot stove. That's something that God gave me to protect me and preserve my life. But, of course, the most important and key fear that we need to have is the fear of the Lord. And that's where it starts for us to battle fear, is to know who God is and to reverence Him and to worship Him and to build our relationship with Him, because breathing techniques will get you through a panic attack, and that helps, but it doesn't address the problem. Mm-hmm. And the problem is do we trust God? Do we believe He is who He says He is? Do we believe that He is in control and that He has our best interests at heart, and that He is going to work these things out for His glory and for our good? Mm-hmm. And so that's a foundational truth that we really have to draw in. We know it intellectually, but it has to go from head knowledge to heart knowledge, to where we believe it and live it and walk in it. And then all the other techniques, all the other tips and ideas, scripture-based, come from that foundation of knowing that God loves us. I love it if I could share with you Romans 8, 35-39 in the NLT says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Mm. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Mm. And that's where it all begins.
Amen. And I'm so glad you bring out both types of fear, because they are talked about in the Word of God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, you know, so fearing God. That type of fear, just for our listeners' sake, we're talking about a reverential fear of God. I think that there is more than that. Initially, when we are first brought to salvation, we are brought to realize the awful condition that we're in before God. And because of that, you know, the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, says, Grace my fears relieved. You know, so we are brought to the place of great fear about our current condition, but then that fear is relieved by the grace of God when we are brought to understand the marvelous salvation that is provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are these two types of fears, a healthy, reverential fear of God for the believer that we are told we should have, and then there's also a fear, a debilitating fear that we're talking about now, which is a sinful fear, this taking upon ourselves this worry and care and anxiety and these types of things, which we are constantly told throughout the Scriptures that we shouldn't give in to, you know, that that's we haven't been given the spirit of fear, but the fear, the spirit of a sound mind, you know, of joy and peace and a sound mind. And so I'm glad you talk about both of those two things in your book. You then talk about there's a difference between failing and flailing. Talk about the difference between those two things.
Well, actually, failing and flailing are two different things that we do in our battle with fear. We fail to address it. We fail to confront it. We fail to deal with it. Some of the strategies we talked about earlier that really don't work, and that leaves us just kind of flailing around and helpless and hopeless and looking to Dr. Oz to tell us to just take a deep breath, which, you know, again, that can be helpful for a second. But what we really need to do is to fix our eyes on Jesus and to really look at what He says and understand. And I don't think we should feel condemnation about being afraid, because I think God understands. The Scripture says He remembers that we are dust. Mm-hmm. We have an enemy who is working hard to tempt us and draw us into fear. But whether we surrender to that fear or not, whether we give in to that fear, whether we choose to dwell on that fear and allow it to take root, that's what we're responsible for. We're all tempted to fear. But what we do with that fear, whether we bring it back to the foot of the cross or whether we take it to heart, you know, that's that's the question. And so it's so important that we recognize the strategies that aren't working, the things that we're doing that aren't helping, and move on to the things that do, the things that God has given us to do that will help us battle fear.
I heard you get that take it to heart in there. Very good. You wove that in. I'm going to do the same with knowing the truth here in just a few minutes. Just kidding. But you're absolutely right. That's what the key is. You know, we're supposed to be casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And these fears are real. We're not saying that these things are not true and they're not really tangible and there aren't many reasons to be fearful in this life. We're just saying that the Word of God, the power of God's Word, is able to overcome those fears. I was quoting before from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So the power is there to overcome. These fears are very powerful, but they're not more powerful than what God has given to us in His Word. And the result is, if we apply that or take it to heart, like you said, if we apply those things to our life, then the result is a sound mind, a mind that is stayed upon the things of God. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with our discussion with our special guest today, Kristen Ditchfield. We're talking about her most recent book that's entitled, What Women Should Know About Facing Fears, Finding Freedom from Anxious Thoughts and Nagging Worries and Crippling Fears. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. You can participate in the program. You want to talk about your fears on air? Do you have a fear of being on air? We can solve that today. We set up a toll-free number for you, 1-888-660-WLFJ. You're free to call that, and we'll talk about what's on your mind today.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A group in Kansas has filed a federal lawsuit to block that state from using science standards they say promote atheism and violate religious freedom. On the next Janet Mefford Show, we'll talk about the case with John Calvert, Counsel for the Citizens for Objective Public Education. And how do the books of Ezra and Nehemiah call us to faith in Christ? I'll talk it over with Dr. Gerald Bilks, author of Memoirs of the Way Home, on the very next Janet Mefford Show.
This afternoon from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lampman from Ligonier Connect. I hope you are enjoying some of the great teaching here on RefNet. If you'd like to increase your faith by studying the scriptures and interacting with other believers who desire the same, Ligonier Connect may be for you. It's an online learning community that you can experience whenever is convenient for you. You can access the courses on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Watch lectures from trusted teachers like R.C. Sproul, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Stephen Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr., Stephen Nichols, and others. Engage in discussions with your fellow classmates by sharing your thoughts, answering their questions, or asking your own. There is so much opportunity to grow in your knowledge of God's Word. In fact, there are more than 45 courses to choose from. So give it a try. Join the over 12,000 other Christians who are learning together. It's only $9 a month, and you can cancel anytime. Go to ligonier.org/connect to learn more.
Hillsong United is coming to Greenville. Hillsong United, Welcome Zion Tour. Tuesday night, November 19th at the Philo Center, including new music from their hit new album, Zion. Tickets for Hillsong United, Welcome Zion are available now online at hisradio.com. Hillsong United. You can find out more when you click box office at hisradio.com.
Yeah.
that is Come People of the Risen King, and that's by Keith and Kristen Getty. Keith and Kristen are coming here to the upstate of South Carolina, and it's coming very quickly, so you got to get out there and get your tickets. They're going to be in concert over at First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, and so you don't want to miss that. It's going to come up on Saturday, October 12th at 7 o'clock p.m., First Baptist Church, Spartanburg. Located over there on East Main Street in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And you can get tickets out at Christian Supply, or you can go out to www.itickets.com. That's itickets.com in order to get your tickets. This music that we've been playing, this is from their brand new CD that they have out, which was done live at the Gospel Coalition just recently. It's excellent. Very, very good. You folks have missed out on some really good concerts that I've had in my car, at least recently, listening to this particular CD. It is very, very good. They do an excellent job. And it really plays into our subject that we're talking about here today. You know, what they do in song, we are talking about doing here in your thought process as well. In song there, they're bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear and putting that to music. They're modern hymn writers, and they're doing that in their music. Well, we're talking about doing that in our daily life today. We're talking about taking the gospel and applying it, or taking it to heart and applying it to our lives in order to overcome the fears that we face. The book that we're talking about today is called What Women Should Know About Facing Fear, and the author of that is Kristen Ditchfield. Kristen has been with me on the program previously talking about other books that she has written. She's a well-known author and speaker. Let me read a little bit further into the bio that I posted on my webpage this morning out on sermonaudio.com. It says, Kristen has written dozens of best-selling gospel tracts and hundreds of columns, essays, and articles for national and international magazines. She is the author of more than 65 books translated into half a dozen languages, books including A Family Guide to Narnia, A Family Guide to the Bible, which is very interesting. So she's giving away in the, again, of looking at the 66 books of the scripture and then giving a summary in there of each one of those books in order to help parents to convey the Word of God to their children. It's very good. Another book is called Away with Words, What Women Should Know About the Power They Possess. She's a frequent radio guest and television on radio and television programs. So just a thorough, long biography, too long for me to read through everything that she has accomplished. Just been a tremendous blessing to the folks here, right here on this radio program, because we carry her radio program called Take It to Heart. In fact, you can go out to her website that has that same name. You can find out there about these short little radio vignettes that are played, and you can also find out about her book out at that website as well. It's published by Leafwood Publishers, and their website is www.leafwoodpublishers.com. That's leafwoodpublishers.com. Or you can go out to Kristen's website, which is called Take It to Heart with Kristen Ditchfield, and that website is takeittoheartradio.com. That's all one word, takeittoheartradio.com. You can find out more about Kristen, about where she's going to be speaking, about her books, a number of information, and benefits of going to that website can be had by just going to that website that I just gave to you. I wanted to let you know you can participate in the program today as well. Maybe there's a specific fear that you're facing, and you want to call and talk about that, or maybe you want to talk about how the Word of God helped you to overcome a specific fear in your life. We've set up a toll-free number for you to be able to do that. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That breaks down to 1-888-660-9535. You can also shoot me an email if you'd rather. If you don't want to be on the air, that's fine. You can shoot me an email at KTT Radio. That's KTT Radio at gmail.com. and I'll open up that radio email account and be watching it there, and we can weave your question or comment into our discussion as it goes forward. Kristen, before we took the break, we were talking a little bit about the idea of failing and flailing, the idea of us not responding to our fears correctly. But you, in the fourth chapter of your book, you talk about something that is far too expensive. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I think it's important as we realize, as we understand the battle that we're facing, to realize how expensive our fear is, the things that it can cost us. You mentioned you were very kind to read all those things on my official bio. I have done a lot of things, but it's only because of God's grace and His power at work in my life. And I remember a time when I couldn't talk to a librarian. I was shaking in my shoes. I was so nervous and shy and afraid of everything that, moved. And to see what God has done, it's because of Him working in me and through me. But I could not have done any of those things if I had not been set free from fear. Mm-hmm. Fear is something that holds us back and keeps us from being who God created us to be. And it costs us physically. I had to cut short. I was working on this chapter, and I had so many symptoms medically described symptoms of people that are battling fear. I had to cut it short because it was going on two pages of things, the ways that fear can affect you physically, the way it affects us emotionally and spiritually. It's devastating. And so we have to remember that. We look at the scriptural example of the children of Israel. It cost them the promised land. God said, go in. And they said, no way, there are giants in the land. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years because of their disobedience. Well, why were they disobedient? Because they gave in to their fear. They listened to their fear, and they became so fearful of what lay ahead. They forgot who God is, and they forgot what God had done for them all these years, and they forgot what He had promised. And that's why I think it's important to realize that if we don't fight this battle, we are going to, we're in the battle whether we want to be or not. And if we don't fight, all that means is that we're going to be in defeat longer, and it'll be harder. We've got to pick up our swords. We've got to get into the battle, or we're going to miss out on all that God's got in store for us and all the things He wants to do in us and through us.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, and the depictions there in the scripture are numerous. When I was in seminary, the homiletics professor would assign us a text to preach on the following week. And the text that was assigned to us, I still remember this, but it was the text of David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath. And so part of the process of doing the procedure of homiletics was to boil down either whether we were concentrating on just a single verse or a phrase or a term, boil that down to the core issue, or in this case, the entire story, which is much more difficult, but to boil it down to what is the essential thing that is taking place in that passage. So I still remember as a young student wandering around the house and poring over this in my mind, what is the crux of what is taking place in this story? Many people, they focus on Goliath and his armor, and certainly was a formidable foe. There's no doubt about it. But finally, this is the outline. I still remember it. Not the outline, but the statement that I thought encapsulated the entire story. I said, David conquered by faith where Israel failed by fear. And I really saw in that story that it wasn't just a story between David and Goliath, per se. It was a story between faith and fear. Yeah. And Israel was all fearful of Goliath, and they hadn't taken into account, that the Almighty God was with them or His covenant with them or any of those types of things. But David came on the scene, and David showed faith, and his faith overcame that fear, that natural fear that we would have. And so I think you're absolutely right. We can draw strength from these passages that have been given to us by God. And if we don't do that, Israel was going to end up being the servants of the Philistines in this case. It's very, very expensive in our life if we don't do that, if we don't bring the Word of God to bear. So I'm glad you bring that out.
Yes. Well, I think it's really important. I think one of the reasons maybe that it's hard for us, even as Christians, sometimes to have that faith and not fear, is because of a difficult reality we've got to wrap our heads around, and that is that sometimes evil does happen. Mm-hmm. God does allow us to go through difficult things.
Yes.
The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." It didn't say no evil would come. He said, "I would fear no evil." Mm-hmm. The truth is, there is evil in the world, and we encounter it. And, you know, I share in the book about the death of my sister and some of the other difficult things that I went through that taught me early on that God doesn't always do what we want him to do. He doesn't always spare us mm-hmm. from suffering. And so I think that's part of the reason that as Christians we still battle fear, because we know that God sometimes, for reasons we don't always understand, allows difficult things to happen,
mm-hmm.
allows painful things to happen. And so wrapping our heads around God's sovereignty and his love for us and his ability to take even the most heinous things, what John Piper called the most spectacular sin in the history of the world, the crucifixion of Jesus, God was able to turn into triumph.
Yes.
And use for his glory and for our good. And so having that perspective. And then, you know, I think there are three questions that we can ask, and if I'll just share them with you real quickly. Three things we need to ask mm-hmm. when we're face-to-face with those that awful reality, with those cancer or tragedy or death or loss or whatever it is that we're facing. One of those questions we need to ask is, why not me?
Mm.
Not why me, but why not me?
Right.
There are so many people suffering in the world. Why should we be so special? There are so many things that God has spared us from, and we need to be thankful for that and accept that if he's called us and appointed us to carry this particular burden, that he will be with us every step of the way. We also need to ask ourselves, where else can we go? I mean, is there anything, sometimes Jesus gives us a hard word. That's what the disciples said, Lord, where else are we going to go, though? Because nobody else has these words of eternal life. No
yes.
one else offers us the hope that Jesus has. So even if we don't like what he's allowed in our lives, we know there's nowhere else to go. And we've got to lean hard into him. And the last question I think that is so helpful, when those fears start to get irrational and overwhelming, is to say, what's the worst that can happen? Play that little game in your mind. Whatever situation you're picturing, what's the worst that can happen? And then after that, what's the worst? And then after that, and after that. Well, I'll tell you what the second to the last answer is in any scenario. It's, then we all die a slow and miserable death. Okay? That's the worst that could happen, right?
Yeah.
And then what?
Right.
Then
eternal
we're face
life.
To face with Jesus.
Amen.
And we are set free once and for all, and nothing can ever harm us again.
Mm-hmm.
So when we keep that perspective, I mean, I think I know that's what helps me, and I think as we spend that time in God's Word and keep that eternal perspective in mind, we can find freedom from our fear.
Amen. I'm so glad you articulated those. Those are very, very good points for people to keep in mind. I was just speaking at a nursing home, where our evening services at a nursing home. And I was talking about the verse that speaks about that thy loving kindness is better than life.
Yes.
And so here's the psalmist saying that there is something better than life itself. He's talking about, you know, just the, you know, the living and, the breathing and the actual existence here upon the face of the earth. We hold that so dearly and think that that is the end-all, be-all, but there's something even greater than that, and that is the loving kindness of God. Having God's favor on us is even greater than life itself. That's why Jesus said, you know, if you love your life, you'll lose it. You know, if you make, you know, just your existence here as being the end-all, be-all, you're going to lose eternal life. But if you have the right perspective on eternal life and God's favor and his smile being upon us through the person and work of Jesus Christ, his Son, that is the number one thing. And no one can take that away from us. No man can pluck us out of his hand. And the verse that you quoted earlier, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Once in Christ forever, and nothing from his love can sever. So it's a matter of perspective.
Yes.
And in your book, you point out around the, let's see, it's I think it's the sixth chapter, yep. In the sixth chapter, you talk about forget not. The problem is we have a propensity to forget what the
That's
Lord
right.
has told us in his word. And your book in that chapter is reminding us not to forget, right?
Right, and giving you some specific things that you can do to go through that list of things that God has done, not only in His Word for the great men and women of the faith down through the centuries, but what has God done in your life? You know, putting it in a journal or scrapbooking it, or there are 100 different ways you can make a memorial of this thing so that you remember what God has done, and then go over those things. When your fears assault you, go back over those things that God has done. Go back over His Word. Resist the enemy. Don't just listen to everything he whispers to your heart. Refute him with the truth of God's word. Fill your home with praise and worship, like that song that we heard coming off the break. Put praise and worship on that reminds you of who God is and creates an atmosphere of faith and trust. You know, there's so many things that we can do to help us remember. It's just a matter of making the effort and remembering to do it. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you to do it. You know what? Turn off that TV program full of doom and gloom and horrible scenarios and put some praise and worship on. You know, put that book down and pick up one that's got something that will affirm your faith and fill you with hope. Lots of little things that we can do on a daily basis to fill us with hope and faith instead of fear.
I'm so glad that you said shut the TV off and not the radio. We both be out
of... Radio is great. That's one of the great ways that we can stay tuned into God's Word. Right?
Amen. We would have both been out of a job. And so I'm so glad that that wasn't in your list there. You know, I gave that story about David and Goliath and talked about coming up with that summary statement. One of the points in that was that David remembered what the Lord had done for him. Remember, he said, hey, the Lord had delivered the lamb out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The Lord will do it the same with him. And so, David in his faith had just applied the word of God and applied the concept of our God being with us to the issue that he was facing, and then was able to overcome it that way. So oftentimes, we do forget what the Lord has already brought us through. I alluded to this already, but in Amazing Grace, it says the Lord, speaks about that has caused us to overcome all these things in our life already towards the end of the song. And so as we think about God's word, which is really a lost art today, there's not a whole lot of meditating on God's word. It will enable you to have faith well up inside of you to be able to face your fears that we have in this life. Kristen, you mentioned about some of the struggles that we go through, but your seventh chapter talks about being forged in the flames. That's kind of an analogy from steel, where steel swords are, it becomes stronger the more it is exposed to the flames. Talk to us a little bit about what we find in that chapter.
Well, that's coming back to that concept that sometimes, a lot of the things that we worry about never happen. In fact, most of them never do. And we talked about that earlier. But then we say, you know what? Sometimes the worst does happen. And what happens when the worst happens? Well, we persevere and we press on and we learn things that we never knew before. We experience God's presence. I like to share the story in that chapter of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their experience of Jesus in the midst of that fire. We experience that we have a friend in the fire. And then there are other examples from Scripture where it didn't end so well. We don't come out unscathed, but we come out into the arms of Jesus. And so no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, we have a hope, we have a future, and that's what we cling to. And that's something that we've got to remember. Yeah, a lot of our fears are silly, a lot of our fears are irrational, a lot of them will never, ever come true. But even if they do, we have a God who is faithful, and we can put our trust and our hope in Him, and He will never leave us or forsake us.
Somebody once said that fear was the interest paid on money you don't even owe, talking about ones that won't come true. But some of them do come true. We've got an email sent in here from a listener, says this, young lady writing in. She says, how does a Christian deal with the fear of letting oneself be vulnerable to one's spouse when the unsaved spouse continually, emotionally hurts her through outbursts of anger, though no physical abuse? So obviously, Anonymous writing in today to ask that question.
I actually have an answer for that. I mean, that could be a whole program in itself, but can I share something for that listener specifically?
Would you please?
Yes. My dear friend Leslie Vernick has written a book called The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, and it just came out 2 weeks ago. And I had the opportunity to pre-read it, and it is full of solid biblical counsel that will help you. Sometimes it's not a good idea to be vulnerable with someone who is dangerous. You know, we need to put up our guard. It's not wrong to guard our hearts and to protect ourselves from danger. Mm. And so understanding what is and isn't biblical, what is and isn't the right response, you know, it's a very complicated and difficult topic, but Leslie is a Christian counselor who has a wonderful ministry, and her her counsel is very solid and biblical. So again, the name of that book is The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. Mm. And I would love to help more, but Leslie can say it even better than I can.
Okay, great. That's great counsel. Let me tell the listening audience as well, you gave a resource there, but throughout your book as well, you give other resources such as counseling organizations as well, like NANC and the Association for Biblical Counseling and so forth. And so in the book, you'll find some very helpful things as well. And to that woman that wrote in, I haven't cleared this. I do this with most of the publishers, but I didn't with Ryan there from Leafwood. But I typically have a couple of books to give away. If that's the case, I'll make sure that this listener that wrote in will get a copy of your book sent to her as well. And we'll see if we can't arrange that to happen. Kristen, just down to the last minute or so of the program, would you just speak in a more general way? You spoke to that particular woman and her situation very specifically, but in a general way, just close out the broadcast here for us, if you would, please, by speaking to women in general about facing fear.
Thank you. You know, I want to share with you that I have experienced it. I know the pain and the torment, and I know the little nagging things that just kind of eat away at your peace day to day. I've kind of been through the gamut. God's put me through it, but He's brought me through it, and I want to encourage you that there is hope, and there is peace. And there is freedom from fear, and you can find it. God can give that to you. Sometimes it means rolling up your sleeves and doing some hard work, emotionally, spiritually, physically. It means digging into the battle, but don't give up, because there is that hope and there is that freedom. Jesus said, "Peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives." You know, it's not a peace that He'll take away or snatch away or that can be taken from you, but it's a lasting and a deep and abiding peace. And that's my prayer for you, that you would experience God's peace and know Him in a deeper way as a result of your battles with fear. They cause you to press into Him and lean into Him and experience more of Him than some people will ever know. So thank God for those battles and fight them with His strength.
Mm, well said. Thank you so much, Kristen, for writing this book. Thank you for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to visit with us for a while to talk about the book. We really appreciate you doing so.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure. God bless you.
Okay. Again, that was Kristen Ditchfield, and the title of the book was called What Women Should Know About Facing Fear, Finding Freedom from Anxious Thoughts, Nagging Worries, and Crippling Fears. Again, the publisher of it is Leafwood Publishing. You can go out to their website at www.leafwoodpublishers.com in order to get a copy of the book, or you can go out to Kristen's website as well. I was talking about her website from the radio program that she does called Take It to Heart with Kristen Ditchfield. That website is takeittoheartradio.com. That's takeittoheartradio.com. I was mentioning that I'd like to try to get a copy of that book for the listener who wrote into us. I'll see about doing that. But also let me tell you that monergism.com was offering a free ebook of John Calvin's book, or a book about John Calvin. And you can go out there to their website, monergism.com, in order to find out how you can get a copy of that free ebook. Kristen quoted that passage where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in me, believe also in God." And they talked about His personal peace. "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives unto you, but my peace I give unto you." That's His personal peace that is produced by the person and work of Christ. That is a peace that is His particular peace. It's not like what the world gives you. It's His peace, and it's His perpetual peace. It'll be with you forever. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
The Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.